Take your Bibles and open up to the book of Acts in chapter 18. That's where we'll start tonight. It indeed is a blessing to be with you all. I got a little concerned this morning after I saw how many people were going to be out of town. And I thought we might be really slim tonight, and we are. But I'm indeed grateful to be here with you. Tonight I want to continue and talk about the dynamic duo. I know I've got Kanan's attention if he was here and watching me. He would automatically be thinking, like most of us, well, he's going to talk about Batman and Robin. No, I'm not going to do that tonight. We don't find them in Scriptures, but there is a dynamic duo that we do find in Scriptures, and I want to talk about them. This is the first lesson kind of like this that I've done where I've combined two Bible characters. But as I talk about these individuals, you'll find out very quickly why that is a must and why it's necessary. I've had a tremendous response from these character studies that I have been doing. Many of you have said you've really liked it. I know Brother Chris and I, we went round and round for several days talking about the Ethiopian eunuch and others. And so it's amazing when we get into God's Word and we start studying and reading and talking about some of these Bible characters, some of the lessons you've heard in the past, those jump to mind. Maybe some of the things we talk about tonight, you maybe have not thought about those that way. And my hope is that this lesson will continue through the rest of this week. You'll want to study a little bit more about these individuals. There are a lot of Bible characters that we could talk about, and we often do. We think about Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Joshua and David. These are all great Bible characters of the Old Testament. Daniel. And we spend a lot of time talking about them, and rightly so. But there are others that we don't often talk about. And that's what we're trying to do with these Sunday night lessons every so often when we talk about these Bible characters, is talk about ones that we don't often talk about. These Bible characters come from the New Testament, so you might be thinking, well, you might be talking about Peter and Paul. No, we're not going to talk about Peter and Paul. We're not going to talk about John. And you might say, well, what dynamic duo did we find in Scriptures that would fit that statement? I'm going to reveal that in just a moment from now. There are two people who we might consider as minor characters in the New Testament. But when you read the writings of Paul and study the book of Acts, it becomes vividly clear that these two Bible characters are not minor, but major Bible characters. And we'll look at all the references dealing with them this evening, and we might think, oh man, this is going to be a long lesson. No, it's not designed to be a long lesson. I just simply want to read the six or so Bible references about them. And at first glance, we might say, well, there's not a lot to those Bible verses, but when we look at them a little bit more in depth, there's a whole lot said about these two characters. So who are they? Who do you have jumping around in your mind? Turn with me over to the book of Acts in chapter 18. I want to talk about Aquila and Priscilla tonight. And if you're like me, when I first read this Bible, I remember very vividly being in Smithville, and John Haynes, he went through a study in the book of Acts with me before I was converted. And we happened upon these two individuals. And my first question was, who are these two women? Kind of unique names. Names that we wouldn't often ascribe, especially Aquila, to a man. But here we find that this married couple is talked about in Scripture. And what's interesting about these Bible characters is I can't find anything negative said about them. Everything that's recorded as far as I've found is good. It's wholesome and serves as an example for us today. Now, we might say, well, we're going to talk about a dynamic duo, a married couple. I'm not married, so I might as well tune this lesson up. No, don't do that this evening. Because we have a man and a woman that we're going to talk about tonight. If you are here tonight, you fit into one of those categories. I assure you, I don't care what the world says. You fit into one of those categories. You're either a male or a female. And so there is much that we can learn from these Bible characters as we'll study about tonight. There are several things that I want us to note right from the very start. They seem to be the ideal couple. When we read these Bible verses, I want you to keep in mind this is a married couple that is listed for us. And they are an ideal married couple. This is a text as a married man that I can look to and I can say, what does Aquila and Priscilla offer to me as an example as a married man? And I hope that you approach this study tonight in that way as well. Not only as a single if you're not married, but also as a married couple. What do they do together that will help me, an ideal couple, a great example for us as married people? They are the type that every church, local church, needs. And so as we study about these Bible characters, what do they have to offer? And once we see that, maybe we can walk in their footprints. And I'll tell you what, we want to be a great help to Brother Ben and Brother Todd as our elders here. Mimic what this married couple did and continues to do as an example for us today. They were appreciated in their day, and they're definitely appreciated today because we're talking about them. One might say, well, shouldn't we just be talking about Jesus? Oh, I don't know if you catch every Bible character that we talk about. We are talking about Jesus. Because they're living the very thing that Christ talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. As we study about these Bible characters, if you miss Christ, I don't know what else I can do for you. Because Christ is riddled right through Aquila and Priscilla's life. How they carried themselves, what they said, what they did. They were following the example of Christ. And so, can we study together? There are six passages in Scriptures that talk about these two individuals. And yes, I'm using my new Bible, so I'll be reading slow. I won't be just going simply by memory like I normally do, but I'll actually be reading the Scriptures to make sure that I get this right. So if you will, take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 18. That's where we're going to start this evening. I want us to note in each and every one of these Bible texts what's noted about these two individuals. I know we've got several young married couples. I know we've got others that are getting ready to get married. I hope you got your Bibles, your notepads open. Jot these down. Follow these. Be a source of strength and encouragement to the local congregation that you're part of. The end result is God's work will flourish because of some of what you do. So let's read these verses together. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, he left Athens. They went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded that all the Jews leave Rome. He came to them. Verse 3. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. Now, there's several things that I want us to note from Acts chapter 18 and verses 1 through 3. First off, this is the first account chronologically that we have of these two individuals. And the first meeting that Paul has with them is where? Corinth. Now this is going to come into play a little bit later as we study in Romans and look at some other cross references here. But we have to note this. When they first meet, this is where it happens. They are in Corinth. We know Aquila, as it's mentioned here, he is born in Pontus. This is the northern portion of Asia Minor. And having lived in Rome, they were banished there. They had to leave, as well as all the other Jews, by the emperor Claudius in roughly around A.D. 51 to 55. They were tent makers by trade, as the text reveals to us. This would have been a very comfortable fit for Paul, having not only this common ground to stand on, this common ground of Christ, but also profession. Maybe we talked about that this morning, right? Hard, working hard with our hands, being diligent with our hands, and doing so with all our heart. This was them. This was them. Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla, they are together by profession. They have this in common. And we know right from the very start, this is the beginning of one of the most dearest friendships that we find in Scriptures. Now, we miss that sometimes. We often talk about Paul, and we talk about Aquila and Priscilla, but very few times do we actually connect them together in a lesson to help appreciate the relationship that they had, and that'll come out to play in Paul's writings as he refers to them several times. But this is a dear friendship, one of the most dearest friendships that we can find in Scriptures, and it all starts at Corinth. I think that's interesting, and I think that is tremendous. There is much debate. Were Aquila and Priscilla already Christians at this time? I tend to think so. That would probably be the case. But if not, before they left Corinth, that was a decision that was made. They were Christians from then on in, and we'll notice that in the writings. So that's the first section. That's really all I want to say about Acts chapter 18 in verses 1 through 3. Now, my hope and desire is that you'll write these down in this next week, that you'll go home and you'll study them, maybe study about Rome, study about Pontius, some of these other areas that are mentioned, what was going on in this day and time. I hope that will lead you to deeper study, to appreciate the significance of this relationship starting here between Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. Okay, so the next one, Acts chapter 18. Let's turn over there. Verses 18 and 19, it says this. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now himself he entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Verse 18. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria. With him were Priscilla and Aquila. That's interesting. They're now traveling with him. In Crentria, he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. And then they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. He traveled on and reasoned with the Jews. So what can we learn from this text as we move from the first part of Acts chapter 18, where they first meet in Corinth? They're now moving and traveling with him on this road. We know Paul parts and goes on, but they are here and they are traveling with him. Aquila and Priscilla accompanied Paul to the city of Ephesus and remained there when he journeyed on to verse 2, Jerusalem. Verse 21 says this, by taking leave of them, saying, I will return to you again if the Lord wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. Now, you know, one of the things you got to read between the lines with these individuals, okay, they're there. What in the world are they doing? When you study the other verses that we'll look at, we can only assume that they were active with their faith. Yes, they had traveled. Paul was going on. What in the world were they going to do? Well, let's study a little bit more about them. The third reference of them is found in Acts chapter 18. Follow with me. Acts 18, then we're going to move on from Acts. But Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, it says this. Now Jude named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, and an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. We're going to read through verse 28. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and been fervent in spirit. We get the idea of who Apollos is, and the zeal that he has, and the training that he's received. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, but acquainted only with the baptism of John. Verse 26 of Acts chapter 18. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. Verse 28, the latter part of verse 27 and verse 28, and when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. And then verse 28, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Now I want to start with the latter part of the text here in verse 28. We get who Apollos is in verse 28. He was one that was active with his faith. He was one that was sincere. He was one that was real. And he was willing to stand and dispute and refute the Jews in public. You know, that's interesting. Do you think Aquila and Priscilla knew that this was the character of Apollos? Absolutely. This would have been an individual that might come in amongst us here and we'd think, well, this is an influential speaker. This is somebody maybe we've heard speak before. If not, we're hearing him for the first time. We know what he's about. How many of us would be willing to go to that individual after hearing maybe a false idea and say, listen, we need to talk? You know, there's one thing in particular that I get from this text. This was a couple that was united to serve Christ. And they were going to do that. And this was a couple that would not stand for error. I appreciate that in this couple. Every young couple needs to model their life after this couple here and this interaction that we see unfolding here. Apollos only knew the baptism of John, and this caused concern because obviously that was not what was being and should have been taught and practiced at this point. And Apollos, after hearing this, he takes him aside and he explains the way of God more accurately to him. Now listen, if we're going to sit down and talk with somebody that's influential like this, that is powerful, that is knowledgeable, we better know what we're doing. And as we read between the lines, we obviously have to conclude that this man here, Aquila, understood what the truth was. In order for him to explain the way more accurately, he had to do what? He had to know the way. Right? And so this is somebody that was real. It wasn't a make-believe Christian here who pretended to be a Christian. This is somebody that was very sincere and very real with their faith. There are several things that we can learn from this incident that happens here. They, this couple, knew the truth. They, together. They went. They knew the truth. Apollos didn't know the truth. And they cared enough about this man, cared enough about Christ, and understood their responsibility that they went and they took him aside privately and talked with him and educated him in the ways of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that would take courage? Sure would, wouldn't it? Even in private. You know, it's one thing to stand up. I remember being down in Burkesville, Kentucky, and there was a situation unfold, and a man was invited to speak at one of the local congregations there, and he was teaching some things that were wrong. And boy, I kept trying to stand up, and Heather kept pulling me down. I kept standing up. She pulled me down again. Neil, don't do this. And boy, I was on fire. I was wanting to tell what the truth was. We talked about this morning. There's a right way to handle things and a wrong way. Obviously, in this situation, in this circumstance, they handled it this way. And I'll tell you what, it did a lot for Apollos. Because he left their interaction not defeated, not feeling like he was beat up, but left here on fire. And went to the Jews and told them about Christ. Their intentions were not to embarrass him, but to educate him. To lift him up. And what's interesting in this text, as far as Apollos is concerned, we note about his preaching abilities, it says that he was eloquent. He was a distinguished, eloquent speaker. And I'll tell you what, a lot of us sometimes get trapped up and caught up with eloquent speaking, don't we? I remember one time sitting at a gospel meeting, and the man that was at the front, he was very eloquent. He talked about every Greek and Hebrew word that ever existed in the language. And at the end of the sermon, the invitation was offered, and several went up. One in particular was one of my good friends, and he went up to this man and he said, great, great job. We got in the car, we started driving home after this gospel meeting. And he said, did you understand anything he was saying? And I said, no, why did you say it was such a great lesson if you didn't understand anything he said? Eloquent. Verbatim, could quote verse after verse after verse. You know what? What we find about this individual, this couple here, is they didn't get caught up with the presentation, and they definitely did not get caught up with his eloquence of speech. What they were concerned with was truth. And they knew the truth. And when the truth was not taught, it was dealt with. Let me ask you a question. Could you confidently say that's you tonight? You see, Aquila and Priscilla love souls. Not just the souls of those that were outside the body of Christ, but they were deeply concerned with the souls in the body of Christ as well. To the extent that they took time and effort to teach somebody the truth. What would you have done? I've got that on the board for the last point on this slide. What would you have done? Take, for instance, just for a second, you're a married couple, Nick and Laura, young couple here. What would you do? Put yourself in Aquila and Priscilla's shoes. Maybe you're not married. Think about your closest friend, you sitting there listening to him speak, and know that what he's saying is not accurate, it's not right. What would you do? I know what I've done before. I know what I still do from time to time. It's not what we find here. Shame on me for being that. Do we take the path of least resistance and not say anything? Maybe we convince ourselves in our own mind, what's the point? Nothing good's going to come out of it anyways. They're not going to change their mind. You have friends that are part of a denomination, and when they begin to talk, there's some good things, but then there's some things that are not good and not righteous and not proper. What do you do in those circumstances? Maybe you don't have your mate beside you. Maybe you're alone in this interaction. What do you do? One of the great lessons we learn here from Aquila and Priscilla is that we must stand for truth and seek to correct error. And that's not easy. I was almost saying, that's not always easy. It's never easy. It's hard. It's difficult. Because it demands effort on our parts. There are other things we learn about Aquila and Priscilla as well. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. Here's another instance where we read about them being talked about. I tell you, there's not a whole lot that we can find as far as references. There's not chapters. There's not books written after Aquila and Priscilla. But I'll tell you what, when we wrap up this lesson, we're going to say to ourselves, there should have been. These are powerful individuals who supported the cause of Christ, who supported men who preached the gospel, who corrected men who weren't teaching right. They were pillars in this day and time. As far as Christians were concerned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19, it says this, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord." Notice this now, "with the church that is in their house." You see, with each text, there's another layer of this onion or orange or whatever you want to call it being peeled back for us. More depth that we're seeing with Aquila and Priscilla. I think it's interesting here, while writing to the Christians from Ephesus in roughly around 53 to 54 AD, the Apostle Paul here extends a greeting from Aquila and Priscilla. Did you catch that? He's writing to the Christians from Ephesus, and he thinks to take time, Paul takes time in his letter as he's writing to these brethren to extend greetings from Aquila and Priscilla. Do you think they were hardly regarded by these Christians? Absolutely. Why mention them if not? You see, they knew the members at Corinth. Remember what we talked about? Where did Paul and Aquila and Priscilla first meet? Corinth. They would have been very familiar. Listen, I haven't been a member at Smithville for a long, long time. But I'll tell you what, when I roll in, they're happy to see me. Why? Because they remember me when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, when I obeyed the gospel, where I first started. I can't help but see that here. As Paul makes mention of them, they're in this letter is being written to the Corinthians at Corinth, and he takes time, he notes Aquila and Priscilla, and he did so for reasons. I think one of them was to assure the Christians at Corinth that were people that used to be with them are anticipating and longing to see growth with the church at Corinth. Longing for them to be more spiritually minded. I think the idea of it being made reference to in verse 19 as well of this church in their house where Aquila and Priscilla lived, it implies several things. First off, it implies that their home was open to other Christians. I can't help but think that this situation was a great situation. The Christians knew if they needed a place to go to, this was the place to go to. Here's this loving married couple who care deeply about Christ and care deeply about the work of God, and their door was always open for Christians, even to the point of it being a meeting place. This is not an accusation, but more of a thought for us to work through collectively together tonight. How would you do with that? If you knew every Sunday, 50 Christians were coming to your house to worship God. Would you be okay with that? And we all might say at the first outside of it, yeah, we would be okay, but maybe space might be an issue. We didn't talk about space. Would your door be open? Would it be open for those that wanted to worship the Lord on Sunday? We might say confidently, yes, that would be us. I mean, shame on us for not saying that. But think about all the work involved. Vacuuming, cleaning, washing windows, cleaning dishes. Husbands, you're going to have to help here. Ladies can't do it themselves. And you think about all the things that we would have to go through to get our house ready every Saturday for Sunday. A lot of work involved. But yet the door was open. And Christians were meeting at their home. They weren't concerned about their house, the walls, the dirt, or the stairs, or whatever else might pose an issue or obstacle for brethren being there. Their only concern was that the church had a place to meet. Special people, aren't they? But it doesn't end. Very quickly, the last two references. Romans chapter 16. Let's turn over there. Romans chapter 16. Maybe you've done a study like this about Aquila and Priscilla. I dare say, as I went back and started thinking about Aquila and Priscilla, I never really preached a lesson solely and completely on them. Never really even dove deeply into a study on these two Bible characters, other than surface things. Oh, I know what Paul had written about him. We'll talk about that here in this text. I could attribute that. I could maybe even find Romans chapter 16 in reference to them. But I hadn't really given a whole lot of thought, deep thought, to these two individuals and the influence that they carried on the work of God in this day and time. And not only the work of God in reaching those that were lost, but the Christians in this day and time. Why would Paul write a letter to the Corinthians and include them? I think we understand now, if we hadn't, why? In Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, we find this written for us here. Greet Aquila and Priscilla, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ. Now, I knew that long before this lesson. I knew this text. I knew how they were referred to. It goes on to say in verse 4, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also, did you catch this here? Not just him, but all the churches of the Gentiles. Goes on to say in verse 5, also greet the church that is in their house. And then goes on and lists an individual there and talks about the first convert to Christ from Asia. I tell you what, we find them now. This is interesting to me. As Paul writes and closes the Roman letter, he sends greetings to Aquila and Priscilla in Rome. Obviously, they moved from Ephesus to Rome. And what was happening in Ephesus is now happening in Rome. Their home is still open. The door is open. There is now a local congregation meeting in their home in Rome. And that tells me a lot about this married couple. They didn't leave their religion behind. They didn't say, well, we've done this once before. It was an inconvenience for us. It was hard. We're not going to do it the next place we move. Have you ever noticed something that we do when we move from one house to the next house? If you're like me anyways, you move from one house and you say, okay, I know what I don't want in a house. And I know what I want. And I can't help but think, Aquila and Priscilla and the success that happened in Ephesus, now move here and say, you know what? I want that again. Pile more work on us. Let us take the lead in this. They weren't, as I mentioned, they weren't ones that left their religion behind, but they were ones that lived their religion out. They didn't forsake truth. They didn't forsake the church or Paul, but matter of fact, with their lives, magnified all of those things. And then we notice in a couple of verses here what Paul had to say about them. We all need to take note of this. It's no wonder he called them my fellow workers in Christ. You see, when we read Romans chapter 16, and we've not studied prior and the events prior to this, we might say, well, why? Well, they did a few things to help Paul along the road. Now, there were a lot of things that they did to help Paul, but there were a lot of things that were going on when Paul wasn't around. And they were working tirelessly for the Lord. And so as Paul would refer to them and their life, really what he's referring to them is who they are and what they're about. He called them my fellow workers. He goes on to say this, who risked their own necks for my life. Says, I'm thankful for them, as well as all the churches of the Gentiles. I love this. They were active Christians. Extremely active. And that's a valuable lesson that every married couple can learn. Every single person could learn from. How active are you when it comes to your faith and living out your faith for those around you? Everything that is said about them is highly commendable. They love the truth, they love the Lord, they love people, and they love to serve others. Powerful couple. The last reference that we find dealing with Aquila and Priscilla is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's turn over there as we close out this lesson tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 19. It says this, greet Priscilla and Aquila in the house of Onesimus. And so as we read this verse here, short verse, but it speaks to the final account that we can find in Scriptures dealing with Aquila and Priscilla. This is a brief statement. Paul saluted them, as we mentioned, called them his fellow workers. And Paul, in his last letter, amidst all the emotions and feelings that would have been going on in his life, knowing that his life was soon to end, he thinks to remember and note his good friends Aquila and Priscilla. He took time and space to remember them. And if we simply, just without knowledge of who they were, happened upon 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19 and the mention of Aquila and Priscilla, we probably would wonder, okay, he's just listing a couple of names. You ever been to the doctor's and felt like you're just another number? That's me every time I go. They come in, they whisk in, they talk and tell you, you tell them your problems and they throw a couple of antibiotics your way and out they go. And you wonder, did they even look at me in the face? There's a reason why these names are listed. Time and time and time again from the Apostle Paul. And that's because of the work that they were doing for the kingdom of God. So what are lessons we can learn from these individuals? Well, the very first thing that jumps off the page to me, although not talked about, they're not mentioned in Ephesians, when the text that we often refer to as the marriage passage, which is actually talking about Christ and the church, they're not listed there. But when we begin to study their life, and the texts that reveal their names, we begin to see very quickly there is a oneness that God desires in every marriage. They are together, wholly and completely together in this work that God had for them. And that's a valuable lesson that Heather and I can grasp from. We know their industriousness as well. They worked with their hands. They were tent makers, just like Paul. Hard workers. They weren't ones that were living off the system, but worked with their hands. They were able to give to those who were in need. And we know this because they owned a house. They had other Christians in. They worshiped there. They gave. We know that of their friendship towards preachers. We talked about Paul and the closeness that they shared. What about Apollos? Think about the good that they did in Apollos' life. An eloquent man, but needed to be taught more accurately. And so these two individuals demonstrate their friendship between not only God and themselves, but other preachers. Their house was open. And they took their religion with them wherever they went. They knew the truth, and they were courageous with the truth. I'll tell you what, if I was doing your funeral, would you want me to list these things about you? Would you like me to be able to confidently say these things about you, that you were the individual that had a oneness when it came to your relationship with God? It was not to be questioned. You were married to Christ, and it was evident with your life and how you lived your life, the things that you said, the way you carried yourself, the demeanor you walked with. Would you love me to be able to say you were one that was hardworking, worked with your hands, was able to give to those who were in need? That you were a friend to all Christians? You weren't one that ran other Christians down, but you were one that was concerned with other Christians' lives and built them up with your life and your time spent with them. Would you like that to be able to be said at your funeral? And above all, that you are a Christian who loved God and you are a humble servant of the King. Tell you what, if you want that to be able to be said about you, we've got to mimic the lives of men and women like what we studied about tonight. Aquila and Priscilla. The wonderful thing that I've come to appreciate about studying Bible characters like this is none of them were superheroes. The dynamic duo, we often think about Batman and Robin. I hope the next time you hear that phrase, the dynamic duo, you'll think about Aquila and Priscilla. I hope that's you. I hope that you are living that life. Because I'll tell you what, anything short of a life lived like this is a life that's being lived by chance. Hopeful, wishful thinking. Why is Aquila and Priscilla listed in the Scriptures? To serve as an example for us. They followed Christ. And because they followed Christ, we're able to follow them. Brethren, we've got to get over our quirks and our squirmish feelings about each other and start being the people that God has called us to be. Plain and simple. I remember sitting, I don't know if it was Chris or it was one of the older generation here. They said, boy, I miss the days where you could just show up at somebody's house, knock on the door and come in for coffee. Tell you what, if you did that today and knocked on somebody's door, how would that go? Boy, the questions would be asked, right? Why are you here? Have I done something wrong? That's where we go to. Brethren, let's open our homes, open our hearts, open our lives to each other so that we can all encourage each other to stand in judgment and be right with Him. Are you here tonight and not a Christian? Why not become one? It's not too late. We're ready. I'm halfway ready this evening. Are you ready? You ready to make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? You willing to turn from the life that you're living and place your life in God's hands? You're willing to do that tonight. Why not come to the front? Raise your hand. I'll come to you. Make that be known with actions tonight that you want to serve the King. Are you here in a Christian? You've not been living right. You've not been living faithful to Him. We think about Aquila and Priscilla. This is definitely not who you are. Repent of that tonight. Change the course that you're on. You can still do that. You're still breathing. Repent of that. And if you'd like us to pray with you, we will do so with tender and humble hearts. The lesson's yours. What will you do with it? As we stand, as we sing.